Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2020. It's Father's Day. And do I have a Father's Day gift for you? I had this wonderful Father's Day gift that I got this year. And I just didn't know if we'd come together, so we didn't mention it on last week's podcast or anything. But last week, I aired a Jack Benny show last Sunday. Well, I think it was Monday by the time I got it posted. Anyway, that Jack Benny show had two episodes that were virtually the same from 10 years apart, from 1950 and 1940, with two different writing teams. So the second one was like where the writing team just grabbed the script from the first writing team and just changed a couple little things. And it just struck me, I've always wondered how they would work that with different sets of writers and who would get paid and all of that. And it just happened to be that an old friend of ours had been contacting me, and we'd been doing a little emailing back and forth. And so I asked him if he would do it. And I've been doing Zoom meetings for my kids at school and things. And he brought up, congratulated me or thanked me for working with high-risk kids that I work with sometimes, and which was delightful of him to say. And I've been doing Zoom meetings with some students and recording them putting them out there for where a group of kids will talk about. I mean, we talked about the media stuff that's been going on and Black Lives Matter and all that sort of thing. Anyway, And so I got used to recording those things, and they turned out really well, and the sound quality was really good. And so I asked him if he would consider answering my questions about this, Jack Benny. And he said yes. And so I was able to get him. And it's our friend Roger Chester back. I just recorded this a couple days ago. And so here's your chance to hear the beginning. Now this interview that I did with him, he was so generous. I ended up getting 40 minutes plus of an interview with him. And so we'll present all of it to you. But at this point, I'm just presenting the answer to this question, which will take about 10 minutes for he and I to get through. But I think it's just, you'll be as delighted as I am to get to spend some time with Roger, who's to us Roger Chester. What a delightful person to speak with. I mean, it was such a fun interview to do. I really hope that he and I get a chance to do it. I've got some more questions, and I hope he and I get a chance to do a follow up. He is the writer. He has written Shrek, you know, the movie Shrek. He wrote Shrek. He was one of four writers that worked on that film. And he'll talk about that, not today, but on the next installment. I'll probably bring it to you as we finish up this Jack Benny season. By the way, this Jack Benny episode, I will talk about it in a minute after Roger's done talking with me. But I brought over a episode that was the Father's Day episode. Jack wouldn't often get a chance to be running long enough into the summer to do a Father's Day episode. This is one of the few that he did, but I'm glad we have this. Anyway, I said he wrote Shrek. He wrote Balto. He wrote for Alf, the television series Alf. He wrote a lot of that, and he'll get into Shrek. Was supposed to be more of a kind of a serious piece, not as much of a out and out comedy. When he came on, they said, we need somebody to kind of punch up the comedy. And he'll explain that, which is great. But, so I'm glad they got him. And so I think how funny Shrek is. And I'm just so thankful that he had part of that. He had the privilege of writing the script for the Bambi follow-up film you know, I don't know what it was, 40 or 50 years later or something, or maybe a little more, maybe 60, I'm not sure. Anyway, and with Patrick Stewart playing the dad of Bambi, what an exciting thing. What an exciting career he has had. He's stayed really busy this last decade or so, working on multiple shows. I mean, just in the time I've done all the podcasts I've done, right? The podcast's been in existence like 12 years now or something. He's worked on at least 3 or 4 different shows and been one of the, you know, writers or producers or co-executive producer. I'm going to ask him all about that later on. I didn't get a chance to. I asked him a little bit, but anyway, exciting, exciting. You can tell I'm excited about this. I mean, and I've gone on long enough. This is going to be a long listening experience because he and I chat for, like I say, 10 minutes. But without further ado, here is just a wonderful human being. His intros, of course, have been the most wonderful intros I think anyone's ever done. He might do some more intros for us, and he and I are working out some special things, and so we might be getting more intros from Roger Chester, which would be delightful. Anyway, without further ado, here is Roger Chester and I doing an interview. Enjoy. All right. This is so awesome because I never knew how to record stuff with people worth beans. I mean, Rob and I, we had something where we did it over the phone, like when I was first doing it, and I was recording the phone, but it's like, oh, it sounds like it's underwater. It just sounds horrible. But now with this new technology, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah, I still don't know how to get both sides of a conversation.
Okay. Well, this does. This will do it. So use a Zoom and hit record, and then you can get both sides of the conversation.
All right.
Yeah, but it's just a little bit like walkie-talkies because we can't both talk at the exact same time, but it's close.
Got it.
Yeah, and I like your background. Yeah, that's
thank awesome. You. That's my driveway in the fall.
And this is my backyard, so it's all good. But I'll tell you what, let's start by just getting my questions out of the way that I want to use for the podcast. So, what's going on is, let me preface this for my listeners, right? And Roger, do you want me to call you Roger? Do you want me to call you Roger Chester? Do you want me to call you?
Oh, Roger's fine.
Okay. Grandmaster of the universe, whatever you like. So Roger's okay. 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 Well, podcast listeners, I am here with Roger Chester, whose real name is Roger. And he is a writer, has been a writer and involved in television and movies for years and years. And we were lucky enough to have him do a lot of intros for me. And so recently you've heard me replay those intros. So we've had a lot of those recently. But I had a question that came up and I just wanted to ask Roger, and he volunteered to go ahead and do this with me because it's just something I've always been curious about. On the most recent podcast, we played 2 episodes of the Jack Benny Show that happened to be done exactly 10 years apart. One of them done by the team of Bill Morrow and Ed Beloing. And then 10 years later, they redid the exact same episode. I mean, 90% of that episode was identical. They changed a few lines where they refer to somebody who was popular at the time. And 10 years later, they kept one of the names because they were still popular, but one of the names they changed to another name. But other than that, I mean, a couple jokes they modernized or whatever, but pretty much it stayed the exact same. And 10 years later, it was written by a completely different writing team. Ed Boyne and Bill Morrow were long gone. And so I was just going to ask Roger if they would have to pay Morrow and Boyne. Was it like the closest thing I can relate to it is kind of like I know at Marvel Comics, like it's called, I think it's called Writing for Hire or Work, something like
Work
that.
For Hire.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. And it just means that if you come up with a character, they own the character. If you write a story and years later they want to revisit that story with a different writer, they don't have to pay you anything for that. There was a lot less control. And I just was wondering how he thought that worked back in the day, and then if it changed today, if he did something similar, if he wrote something, I know that he was worked on Shrek. If someone else writes a new thing with Shrek, do they have to pay him? Do they have to ask him for permission? I don't know how that all works. So I'll turn over to right. Roger, and he can go wherever he wants
okay. to. Well, the first thing I'll say is, well, first of all, before I even say the first thing, let me say it's great to see you and great to be here. The first thing I'll say is that I am not an authority on this. The right person to ask would be like a historian or legal person at the Writers Guild of America, because that's the guild that oversees features and television writing.
Right.
But I can just give you my best guesses. Assuming the WGA, East and West, they have two sort of major chapters that are conjoined. Assuming it was, I know it was around back then, and assuming they operated pretty much the way they do now, then the difference would be between TV and features. In features, it is almost always a work for hire, which means they own it outright for a certain sum of money. TV is different. They've negotiated different rights and privileges. And for example, if you create a new character in an ongoing series, and create means you write the episode in which that character first appears, and that character becomes a recurring or a regular character, you get what's called a character payment every time that character appears, even if you have nothing to do with what comes out of that character's mouth from then on. Because you created that character, you gave birth to it, and so even if someone else tells him what to say, you still have some rights. So right. that those rights are expressed as money. So if they had character payments back then, and there happened to be any characters in that first script that were then repeated in the second script, the original writers would probably get a character payment. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, there's something else in TV that doesn't exist in features, which is the concept of residuals, right. which means you write a script and you get paid for it. But then when they show the script again or broadcast it, whether it be audio or visual, you know, mm-hmm. film or video,
right.
then you get another smaller payment, and those payments decrease over time as the repeats go on. Okay. And I could talk about that and explain why that exists and all
the things. Well, let me ask you this related to that. I'll just hop in here. I know that you wrote some of the original ALF episodes.
Correct. Yeah?
And now those have been reshown like a gazillion times probably at some mm-hmm. point. So I would assume you were not getting any more residuals on that. It probably wore out after a certain amount of time, or am I wrong with that?
You're right in theory, but I'm not yet at the end of that tale. Okay. I still get checks for ALF, but what's funny about it is I could get a check for like 68 cents. That's literally the way it is now. Sometimes I get a check that actually cost more to send to me than it's worth.
Yes.
And I will frame that check and put it up on the wall.
And musicians are always sharing the same thing where they get checks for residuals that is for 48 cents or something. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So no, I still get checks for ALF. I get checks for Living Single, Melissa and Joey, a whole bunch of shows that I worked on.
Right.
When it starts.
And Joey is a fairly recent one in the last decade or so. So you would assume that you'd be getting checks for that. So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
And I suppose it all adds up a little bit at some point.
It's important. Yeah, it's important because one of the things that anybody who gets into the business of writing television shows quickly learns is you're unemployed most of the time.
Yeah.
Unless you're really in a very small percentage of people who are on hits that go and go and go, right. you spend time in between series, and that could be a long time not working. Right. And so that was what I was referring to earlier when I said I could get into the reasons why behind this. It was, you know, how do writers in TV make ends meet when there's so much unemployment? And that is by having the success shared. If you right. get to make money from repeating an episode, then the guy or woman who wrote it should have some share in that success.
Right.
So the original writers at Bloy and so on, they would have gotten a residual
right.
on that script because they're using too much of that script for it to just go by the wayside.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear the same script. So they would either get a residual on the original, or they may even, because they're re-recording it, they may get a new original payment wow. as if they had just written it.
Right.
Yeah. The new writers.
Yeah. What would they get?
Yeah. That's a little bit more of a mystery. You know, it's like, because
they've written like three jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. But they, you know, to tell you the truth though, it's not how many jokes they wrote. It's the fact that they gave their expertise to it. In other words, it's like a hairstylist taking four hairs off your head and saying, you don't pay me by the hair. You pay me because I know what I'm doing.
Right.
So,
let me throw this in there. That ties into, my listeners are going to kill me because I don't remember the name. There was when he first hired Ed Beloine and Bill Morrow, they were new, they were young. And so he had a existing writer that had a lot of experience and they were getting maybe like, I want to say $800 a week. And the experienced writer that didn't have to do anything but look over their script and say, yeah, this is funny, or maybe I need to punch a joke up here or there. Mm-hmm. He was getting like $2,000 a week. So mm-hmm. more than both of them combined. I assume that's a fairly common practice.
Yeah. When I first started on sitcoms, there was a thing that they called the $10,000 a day person. And that's a lot of money now.
Yeah.
And when I started, it was,
I take that.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can definitely get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And when I first started, that was how much certain people were getting, and they would literally only come in for the day. So you'd get some real heavyweight writer to come in and help punch a script. And he'd sit with everyone for however long the rewrite was, anywhere from 4 to 8 hours. Right. And then you'd never see him again unless they hired him again. But he'd be somebody with a real, or she would be somebody with a real track record. And although you don't know for sure how much they're making,
right?
They just said $10,000 a day, man. And sometimes it was more. So yes, you're absolutely right. You weren't paying them for how much they put into the script by weight. You were paying them for showing up.
Yeah.
You know, even pointing at somebody else's joke and saying that'll work was worth money.
Yeah.
So I could imagine also the new writers having a different arrangement, because I don't know how it was with Jack Benny and the Guild at that time, but if they were on salary, he may have just said to them, or someone at the studio may have just said to the new writers, just punch up this script and modernize it as part of your salary. We're asking you to take no extra money on this particular script because you're really not doing much.
Right.
And it's possible that that would be illegal, but they would do it. Or it's possible that that was legal at the time and right. they would do it. Or
well,
they could just refuse
Jack
to do
is
it.
Famous for being very generous with his writers and paying his writers more than just about any other writers in the business. So chances are they would do a lot of extra things for him just because
right.
he pays but us really well and takes care of us.
Yeah. Right. But conversely, if he was that generous, this is what I would do if I were Jack Benny yeah. and had a reputation that was well-deserved for being generous and was as rich as he was.
Yeah.
I would pay the original writers a full fee again and pay the new writers a full fee again. Because yeah. frankly, you take those two script fees and put them together, and they wouldn't pay for Jack's, you know, mineral water for a month.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was thinking so. Yeah. So why not? So those are sort of my best guesses.
Yeah.
All right, Don. I'm ready. You want me to take the opening, huh?
Oh, no, it isn't the breeze. Buck Benny, a two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to the final episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1939-1940 season. Tonight's episode's a fun one. You get a chance to hear two of my favorite characters, the Soda Jerks, played by Jack's writers, Ed Beloine and Bill Morrow. I just love it when they're on the show. You also get a chance to have Henry Aldrich stops by, played by Ezra Stone. And Henry Aldrich just has a wonderful, rich history as a character. He started out always played by Ezra Stone. Anyway, he in 1937 or 38, was in a play called What a Life. He was a minor character, but when Rudy Valley came and saw the play, he decided he wanted to have the Henry Aldrich character be written into his show for some skits. And that went so well that he ended up having a 39-week run on the Kate Smith Hour as built-in skits as well. And then it took over for Jack in the summer of 1939 with the Aldrich family, and then it ran for the next season, and that brings us up to this episode, and it would have another a number of future successful seasons on it changed networks a couple times and so forth, but it was a very enjoyable program. I'm going to bring you, after the Jack Benny show's over, I'll link up an episode of the Aldrich family so you can hear kind of what the Aldrich family was about. Anyway, thank you all for joining me this season. It's been a wonderful, fantastic time. We're continuing to need folks to donate, so if you have a chance to donate, that would be a wonderful thing. I hope you have a great summer and enjoy our Western summer with all of our great Westerns, and I hope you come back in the fall to join us for more Jack Benny and more of our other shows that we'll be bringing back in the fall. But it's been a fantastic season. I thank all my guest podcasters that have come on and helped out. And anyway, without further ado, here is Jack, Henry Aldrich, and two fun soda jerks.
One cherry phosphate.
One cherry phosphate.
Hey, buddy, I've got a broadcast to do in a few minutes. Will you please hurry with my sandwich?
Why don't you eat after the broadcast?
Because I'm hungry now. Get the sandwich.
Okay, Mr. Benny. What kind was that again?
Tuna fish and peanut butter on rye bread.
Oh, yes, with an egg in it.
The egg goes in my malted milk. Now hurry, please. Oh, hello, Don.
Oh, hello, Jack. Think I'll have time for a bite to eat before our broadcast?
Yes, if we can get a little service here. Sit down.
Okay.
Well, there goes my new straw hat. That did it.
Oh, that's too bad, Jack. I didn't see it. Is it crushed?
Like a pansy in a dictionary. Is my hat crushed?
Well, I'm so sorry, Jack. I think I ought to pay for it. How much did it cost?
No, no. Forget about it, Don.
Okay. Jeepers. Just think. A few more minutes and we'll be during our last...
Just mail me a check.
Hiya, Mr. Wilson. What'll it be?
I'll have a club sandwich, please.
Okay. One clubby for Tubby.
Cover up.
And hurry mine while you're at it.
Hi, Jack. Hello, Don.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello.
What are you eating, Jack?
Oh, my regular. Tuna fish and peanut butter.
What a man. Just because they name a sandwich after you, you eat it every time you come in here.
Well, why shouldn't I? The Jack Benny three-decker delight is very helpful. I always eat things that are full of vitamins.
Then why don't they show?
Oh, quiet.
Here's your club sandwich, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you.
What's yours, Miss Livingston?
I'll have a pineapple nut sundae with cherries and lots of whipped cream.
My goodness, Mary, why don't you eat something with vitamins?
Okay, put some tuna fish on it.
Mary, you better save all those cute remarks for the program. And incidentally, young lady, as long as this is our farewell appearance, I wish you'd be a little more careful what you say.
You mean I shouldn't tell them what happened at Paramount yesterday?
Don't you dare.
What happened, Mary?
Never mind. See? You're starting already.
Go on, Mary. What was it?
Yeah, what happened?
You stay out of this.
and get my sandwich.
Well, Don.
Oh.
It seems that Paramount gave Fred Allen Dorothy L'Amour's old dressing room, which is right next to Jack. Only Jack didn't know that Fred was in there.
Only Jack didn't know.
Anyway, Jack knocked on the door and yelled, "Hello, Dorothy. Hello, sweetheart."
Very amusing.
And what happened, Mary?
Fred yelled back, "Don't come in. I haven't got my sarong on."
Yes, but he didn't fool me for a minute.
But, Jack, I thought you told Mark Sandridge, the director, that you wouldn't make a picture with Alan.
Well, we compromised, Don. Alan can be in the picture, but he has to be the straight man. He gives me all the leads, and I give all the answers.
Well, that'll be a novelty. The question's getting the laugh.
I'll get the laughs, don't worry.
Here's your pineapple sundae, Miss Livingston.
Thanks.
Hey, wait a minute, she just got here. Where's my three-decker?
Phil's putting a poop deck on it.
Don't get fancy, just bring it in. Hiya, kids. You better step on it. We'll be on the air in a few minutes.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Hello, Don.
Well, look who's on time tonight. What's the matter, Phil? Does your conscience bother you because this is our farewell program?
Holy smoke, is this our last broadcast? I better start saving my dough.
Yes, Maestro, you have about 30 minutes left to get an annuity. So make it snappy.
What'll it be, Twitch?
Hiya, bub. Just give me a glass of water.
Glass of water? Okay.
Put some bromo in it.
I thought so. A bromo seltzer, eh?
One Phil Harris special.
Coming up.
They know you like a book, eh, Phil?
Hey, fella. Hey, are you Jack Benny from the radio?
That's me. My program goes on in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I heard it last week.
Oh, you did?
But I didn't like it.
That's too bad. You know, I can't please everybody.
Yeah, especially me. So long. I'll be listening.
Goodbye. I'm going to worry whether he likes me or not.
Here's your sandwich, Mr. Benny.
Well, it's about time. Give me that malted milk, too.
Okay.
Boy, am I hungry.
Say, Jack, I better run along upstairs. I'll see you in the studio.
All right, Don. Well, I'll be darned. Hey, buddy, I ordered a tuna fish and peanut butter.
Well, what's the matter?
This is tuna fish and peanut brittle. A fine combination.
Well, we're all out of peanut butter.
It's a nice time to tell me. Bring me something else, then. Bring me a turkey sandwich.
Okay. One turkey for jerky.
Coming up!
Now, see here, young man. I'm a very good customer, and if you think that
pardon
I'm...
Pardon me, mister. Is this seat taken?
No, sit right down.
Hey, Jack, it's getting late. We better get out of here.
Yeah, come on, Jackson. We'll be late for the broadcast.
Oh, I think I got time to eat a sandwich. Pardon me, mister. What time is it?
The time?
Yes.
I don't know. Hey, Eddie, what time is it?
I don't know. Hey, Bill, what time is it?
I don't know. Hey, Sam!
Never mind. I'll eat after the program. Come on, Mary. Hurry up, Phil.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Down by the Ohio. You know, ladies and gentlemen, a great many desserts are outstanding for one single quality. Some you remember for their delightful taste, others for their tempting appearance, their simplicity, or their low cost. But when it comes to Jell-O, there's a dessert that has everything. Color? Yes, color so gay and inviting that Jell-O is a joy just to look at. Flavor? Extra rich flavor, as downright refreshing as the fresh, juicy, ripe fruit itself. Ease and speed, for Jell-O dissolves instantly and sets quickly. Economy, because one package, costing only a few pennies, serves the average family in generous style. And last but not least, variety. For with Jell-O, you can enjoy any number of novel and satisfying desserts. So be sure to keep a goodly supply of Jell-O on the pantry shelf at all times. Then you'll always be ready to serve family and friends their favorite treat, Jell-O, the dessert that really has everything. Played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is only fitting that on this, our last program of the season, I should pay tribute to the man who has guided us through the past 36 weeks.
Oh, don't bother, Don.
A man whose spirit and leadership has made this program what it is today.
Oh, anybody could have done it. Maybe. Continue, Don.
A man whose buoyant and sparkling personality has been reflected into each and every one of us.
I have so much of it. Go ahead.
A man whose age and experience has proven invaluable to us younger members of the cast.
That one he could have left out. Oh, well.
So here he is, folks, the old Mother Hubbard of the Jell-O program, Jack Benny.
Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. Old Mother Hubbard, that's a fine introduction on Father's Day. Don, as long as you started out so beautifully, why didn't you finish with something sentimental like, here he is, folks, the genial skipper of the good ship Jell-O, Jack Benny. Now, that would have been swell.
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack, that sounds a bit too corny.
Oh. Well, now that you mention it, it does sound a little like one of Phil Harris's mental nuggets.
There you go again. Oh, boy, am I glad this is the last broadcast.
You are?
Yeah. Next week, I'll be out on the road playing those one-night stands where people appreciate me.
Phil, you stay in a town longer than one night and see what happens. So you start on the road next week, eh? What's your itinerary?
Plain suits for the boys and a sport outfit for me.
Well, that was my fault. Phil, an itinerary means your route. What town's you gonna play?
Oh, well, why don't you come right out and ask me instead of ringing in them new words?
New words? Phil, the word itinerary is very common. I learned what it meant when I was in the third grade.
You learned to shave there, too, didn't you?
Mary, I wasn't in third grade that long.
Go on, they had to give you election day off so you could vote.
All right, go ahead, keep it up. I suppose I had rheumatism when I was in the third grade.
You spent your lunch money on liniment, if that's what you mean.
Now, cut that out! You never stop, do you? Mary, if I'm a big dodo like you try to make me out, how come I'm the star of this program?
Because you're a great comedian, you have a marvelous personality, and you know show business from A to Z.
Well, thanks. More like it. Say, Phil.
Oh, brother.
Now, don't spoil it. Say, Phil, as I started to ask you before I was sent back to third grade, what's your route? What town's you gonna play?
Well, tomorrow night we open in San Bernardino, then we go to Santa Barbara, then Long Beach, then San Diego.
I see.
Then the following night we go to Fall River, Massachusetts.
Fall River, Massachusetts? How are you going to get there in one night from San Diego?
I don't know. Is it much of a drive?
You hear that, fellas? What a schedule. That'll be a fine vacation touring the country with those 18 downbeat derelicts. Say, Don, what are you planning to do on your vacation? Take a trip somewhere?
Well, Jack, this may come as a sort of a surprise to you, but I'm going to make a picture for Harry Sherman at Paramount. It's a Western.
Oh, well, I'll be darned. So you're going to make a Western, eh? Are you going to ride a horse, Don?
Yes, sir, and you ought to see that animal. It's a beauty.
So was Jack Straw Hat till you sat on it.
Yeah, $4.50. Well, tell me about your picture, Don. Is it an interesting story?
Oh, very.
You see, I'm Sheriff Slim of Rattlesnake Gulch, and there's a mob of outlaws that come in town one night to rob the bank.
Rob the bank, eh?
Yeah, but I'm having the story changed so that now they break into a grocery store and steal some Jell-O.
Oh.
That makes me fightin' mad.
Well, I should imagine it would. What's a bank, huh? So what, what happens, Don?
Well, I jump on my horse and follow the outlaws to their hideout.
I see.
And I'm almost within sight of them when suddenly my horse goes lame.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I continue by foot.
Don, you forgot to get off. And what happens next?
Well, to make a long story short, I capture the bandits, bring back the Jell-O, marry the grocer's daughter, and we have six delicious children
named...
Don't
tell me. Don't tell me. I can guess. Imagine a kid named Lemon Wilson. Well, it sounds like a fascinating story, and I wish you luck, Don. And now, ladies and gentlemen, going from Buck Wilson Rides Again to our vocal interlude, Dennis Day, our young tenor, will offer...
Dennis isn't here yet.
He isn't. I think he'd be on time for our last program.
Look, Jack, there he is, sitting out in the audience with his mother.
Where?
See that lady with a little boy on her lap?
Well, I'll be darned. Hey, Dennis, what are you doing out there?
I'm watching the program.
Well, get up here. You're on it.
Okay. Come on, Ma.
Would have to bring his mother with him.
Oh, Jack, it's our last show. What do you care?
She's always got a chip on her shoulder. The old... Oh, good evening. Good evening, Mrs. Day.
Good evening, Mr. Benny.
I'm so happy to see you.
Well, you certainly don't look it.
You see? You see what I mean? You see? There. Oh. You know, Mrs. Day, I don't like to say this, but since you've stayed away from the program, Dennis and I have been getting along fine, and he's improved tremendously. He's got more volume to his voice, more assurance, and more poise.
Then why don't you give him more money?
Because he's young yet. That's why.
Shirley Temple made $1 million before she was 10 years old.
Shirley Temple?
Yes.
Well, hang some curls on your brat and we'll dick her. Now, look, Mrs. Day, give me a little credit. I've developed your son into being a first-class comedian.
Then he ought to have more jokes to tell.
Oh, now you want jokes for him. Well, for your information, Mrs. Day, there are just so many jokes in our script. And when this pack of wolves come in here Sunday night, your lamb is lucky if he gets to sing. And now, Dennis, how about a song?
Okay. Gee, Mr. Benny, you're not a bit afraid of my mother, are you?
Your mother? No.
The woman don't live that you're afraid of, eh, Tiger?
Mary, I don't like those nicknames. Go ahead and sing, Dennis. Mrs. Day, will you please take your seat in the audience?
On your little swing, I heard you sing through the livelong day. The way that lovebirds do, for there were two of you. Then this tragic thing that called your poor little mate away, and only you remain to sing a blue refrain. Lovebird, your song's a tender theme that wasn't meant to sing along. Blue lovebird, still singing for your mate, but it's your fate. Wait alone. Once there were two of you singing to the dawn. What can a lover do? when his love has gone. Ooh, lover, your sun becomes a star. It seems that lovers die.
That was Blue Lovebird from Lillian Russell, sung by Dennis Day. A great song from a great picture. By the way, Dennis, did you see the picture?
Yeah. And I was wondering, Mr. Benny, do you think Alice Faye on the screen was as beautiful as the real Lillian Russell?
So they say. Of course, I never knew Lillian Russell.
Uh-huh.
Mary, I'm warning you. I suppose I knew Diamond Jim Brady, too.
If you did, you didn't get any on you.
Mary, I was just about to make an announcement concerning our cast next year, and a certain clever kiddo may be cut out. Now, sit down.
Yes, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Mr. Benny. And now, ladies and gentlemen, before we conclude this final broadcast, I would like to announce that on Sunday, October the 6th, Mary, go away, we will return to the air for the same sponsor at the same time and with the same cast. Mary, Phil, Don, Dennis, Andy, and Rochester, who is now touring in vaudeville.
Incidentally, Jack, who's taking over our summer show? Has it been settled yet?
Yes, Don. The Aldrich family is going to move in for 3 months. As a matter of fact, young Henry Aldrich is dropping in here in just a little while. I want you all to be very nice to him. He'll probably be scared stiff in front of a microphone, huh?
Scared in front of a microphone? Why, Henry Aldrich is a veteran in radio.
Why, he can't be. He's just a kid.
Sure, but he's had his own program for the past 2 years. Gee, he's funny.
Funny? Does he do comedy?
Haven't you heard about him, Jackson? Why, that kid's a riot. He's terrific.
Yeah? And he's young, eh?
Yeah, and you want to watch out for that boy.
Remember the old saying, make way for tomorrow.
Well, if he thinks he's coming out here to steal my... Oh, I'm not worried. But then, what's my sponsor thinking of putting another comedian in my place?
Now, take it easy, Jack. The boy won't hurt you. He's only taking your place for 3 months.
Oh, that's right.
A lot can happen in 3 months.
What do you mean?
Well, suppose at the end of the summer, Henry Aldridge goes to our sponsor and says, look, I did all right on the summer show. Why make a change?
What?
Why not keep the Aldridge family?
But...
why let go of a good thing?
Yeah, what do you need with Benny? Why the little double-crosser? I'll punch that Aldridge kid right in the nose.
Now, Jack, don't get excited. The kid doesn't mean any harm.
Then why is he trying to put me out of work? Especially at my age.
Ooh, my back.
All of a sudden, you're old and feeble.
Oh, no, I'm not. Well, fellas, that's the way they want it, all right. Heaven knows I try to entertain the American public. But that's life, I guess. Life.
Jack, what are you talking about? You'll be back on this program next October.
Don't try to soften the blow, Don. I can see the handwriting on the wall. Thank heaven I've saved a few pennies.
Ye gods, have you got that fortune in pennies?
No time for jokes, Mary. And I think that a little squirt like that Aldrich kid can come along, come in, and take away all that I've built up through years of constant... Come in, come in. Well?
Hello, Mr. Benny. I'm Henry Aldridge.
Oh, you are, eh?
He got a nice hand there, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the public for you. Fickle. A little while ago, they were doing that for me. Well, young man, you can very nicely get right out of this studio.
Get out of this studio? Why, our sponsor sent me
I don't care what our sponsor did. You don't start working on this program until next week, so scram. Yeah,
but I flew all the way here from New York just to be on your show tonight.
I don't care if you did. Get out.
But Mr. Benny...
That's nothing. Get out before I throw you out.
What's going on here?
You know what's going on. Teach you to take my job away. Look at him standing there. You're so darn funny, Aldrich. Why don't you go ahead and tell a joke? Go ahead, make me laugh.
Gee whiz, Mr. Benny, I can't understand all this. I came all the way from New York to be with you tonight.
Who cares?
I'm bewildered. Everybody told me you were such a nice fellow.
I heard a little bit about you, too, buddy. Now, please get out of here.
Oh, Jack, you have to fall for everything. We were only kidding you.
Why, of course. You don't have to worry, Jack. It's just a rib.
Rib nothing. I can look right at that boy and see he's got talent. Can't pull the wool over my eyes.
Hair either.
Quiet. I'm worried enough.
Oh, wake up, Jackson. This kid isn't trying to take your job.
But my goodness, Mr. Benny, I think you're the greatest comedian in the world. You're my ideal.
I am, eh?
Honest. Why, I'd rather go without supper than miss you on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah? Well.
Oh, I always listen. Why, I know all of your stuff by heart.
Oh-ho!
Put up your dukes! Put them up, kid! Grab him, grab him. Jack, what's the matter with you? Calm down.
Calm down? You just heard him admit he was stealing my stuff.
Oh, no. You misunderstand me, Mr. Benny. All I meant was you're so funny that I can't help but remember everything you do.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry I made that pass at you. So you think I'm pretty funny, eh, kid?
Yes, sir. I think Phil Harris is very amusing, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
But when it comes to class, you got him beat a mile.
Well, Henry, I'll have to admit that Phil is a little corny.
Oh, you're both corny, but you have more finesse.
Now, look, Henry.
See what I told you? The kid's a panic.
Yeah. Now, look, Henry, there are a couple of rather personal things I want to talk to you about. I'll tell you what, let you and I run down to the drugstore. I want a sandwich anyway. I'll talk to you there.
Okay, well, so long, everybody.
So long, Henry. Henry. So long. Goodbye. Good luck on your summer show.
Gee, thanks.
Goodbye, Mary. Give me a kiss.
Kiss Henry. Oh, so long.
I'll see you later. Come along, Henry.
Okay, Mr. Benny.
Well, Henry, now, here's what I want to talk to you about. You see, I do a comedy show 9 months out of the year. Now, you're coming on for the summer, and I think our audience would like a contrast.
What do you mean, Mr. Benny?
Well, why don't you do a dramatic show or read poetry or something?
Well, you see, the Aldridge family has been very successful on the air. We want to continue with it.
Oh. But, Henry, people get tired of laughing all the time. Why don't you introduce a serious note? You know, make people cry.
Cry, Mr. Benny?
Sure, that sob stuff goes over big.
I smell a rat.
Oh. Well, look, Henry, here's another idea. Have you ever considered doing a sort of an adventure serial? Something with suspense and action. For instance, look, you can be lost in the jungle. Savages and wild animals will be after you. You know, make a real thriller out of it.
No comedy, eh?
No, not in the jungle, Henry.
Well, I don't think our sponsor would like that.
Oh. Well, here's the drugstore. Let's go in and have something. Look, Henry, don't you want to show the sponsor how versatile you are?
I want to get laughs, Mr. Benny, just like you do.
Oh. Hey, buddy, give me a tuna fish and peanut butter sandwich.
Okay.
Let's try it again. Now, look, Henry, let me paint a picture for you. Say, for instance, you're lost in the jungle, and week after week, people will be tuning in to find out what's happening to you. They're worried about you. They'll be on edge. Did the golden dragon get Henry, they'll say? Or have the cannibals got him? Think of that.
I'll have a chocolate soda.
But, Henry...
Vanilla ice cream.
Now, look, Henry, forget about the jungle. Here's another idea for you. You're an office boy on a big new city newspaper, and you're just dying for a break. You want to be a reporter, see?
Uh-huh.
Well, one day there's a big fire in the building next door. And Millicent Mandalay, the girl you're going to marry when you're 21, is trapped in this burning building. You hear her screaming, Henry! Henry, help me! Help!
No soap.
Listen. So hearing her cries, you dash right into the blazing inferno. Think of it, Henry. Flames to the right of you. Flames to the left of you. I tell you, Henry, this is the kind of...
And now here's our recipe for keeping as cool as a cucumber this summer. It's a swell new Jell-O recipe called Cucumber Pineapple Salad. Why, there's an even breezy, refreshing sound to the name itself. And believe me, here's one time when there really is something in a name. Tiny diced pieces of crisp cucumber, golden wedges of juicy pineapple, and clear emerald lime Jell-O. Yes, sir, it's enough to make the laziest summer appetite perk right up and say more. And better yet, it's so simple and easy that it's practically making itself. Just prepare one package of lime Jell-O in the usual way and chill until slightly thickened. Next, fold in a cup of diced cucumbers and one slice of canned pineapple cut into wedges. If you use fresh pineapple, be sure to cook it. Then mold and serve on lettuce. And there it is, friends, a bright, colorful salad with a grand, tantalizing taste. Just the thing for warm weather meals, which must be light, yet delicious. So tomorrow, enjoy this new Jell-O salad, a delightful combination of cool, tingling cucumbers and golden pineapple, tucked into a glistening mold of tempting lime Jell-O.
This is the last number of the last program in the current Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next October 6th at the same time. Meanwhile, I hope you will all enjoy The Aldrich Family starring Ezra Stone beginning next week. Before signing off, I'd like to thank our listeners everywhere and the members of my cast for their splendid cooperation. I would also like to thank my authors, Bill Morrow and Ed Beloine, who worked with me in the preparation of my material. And oh yes, I think I better thank Ezra Stone, too.
You're welcome, Buck.
Well, good night, folks. See you next fall.
J-E-L-L-O. Be sure to listen next Sunday to the Aldrich Family, same time, same station.
This is the National Broadcasting Company. Family, written by Clifford Goldsmith, featuring the Broadway stars Ezra Stone and this week's special guest, Betty Field. Brought to you by Jell-O Puddings, those delicious new desserts all America's talking about. The Aldrich Family arrived on Broadway this week in the hilarious, successful Paramount picture, What a Life. It's truly a four-bell movie, and we urge you all to see it. Tonight, we are pleased to present one of the stars of the motion picture, Miss Betty Field, who will play Barbara Pearson, Henry's sweetheart. As usual, the part of Henry Aldrich is played by Ezra Stone. The scene opens in Barbara's home. It is early evening.
Grandma? Grandmother?
Well, yeah, Barbara?
Henry Aldrich hasn't come yet, has he?
Just a minute, and I'll ask your father.
No, he hasn't, Barbara.
First time this week he hasn't been here.
Father, could you come here a minute?
Where are you?
I'm here in the front hall.
Well, well, what is it this time, Barbara?
Now listen, Father. Yes? I don't want Grandmother to hear me.
Why don't you want me to?
Oh, no reason. Father.
Yes?
When Henry comes, would you do something for me?
Well, what is it?
I know it's awful, but I've got it all planned. I found out today Henry is seeing an awful lot of Constance Marshall.
Who told you?
Constance herself did.
I see.
But, Father, I've even seen them together.
Charles, where's that box of candy we had around here last night?
I haven't any idea.
Father, when Henry does come, would you mind stepping into the room just once or twice and saying George Bigelow wants to speak to me on the telephone?
Well,
you will, Father, won't you?
I'm just a bit surprised, Barbara.
But Father, it wouldn't be so terrible, would it? Don't you think I'm human?
Barbara, I still think it'd be much better if you got your grandmother mixed up in this.
But, Daddy, Grandmother wouldn't approve of it. You know she wouldn't.
And exactly what makes you think I do?
It's for Henry's own good, Father. Constance Marshall is so silly.
Barbara, young ladies don't go about deliberately making young men jealous.
Oh, but they do. I beg to differ with you.
Well, sir, I'd give my eye teeth for a piece of that candy. Still had my eye teeth. Charles, somebody's at the front door.
Please say yes, Father.
Well, I'll think it over.
That's practically yes. Tell Henry I'll be right down.
Well, how do you do, young man?
How do you do, Mr. Pearson? How are you this evening?
Splendid.
And how is Mrs. Sanderson?
She's splendid.
No, she's not either. My digestion's terrible.
Is that you in there, Mrs. Sanderson? Charles, tell Barbara Henry's here. I've been asking all evening where Henry is.
Has she?
No, I haven't either, Grandmother.
I had to stop for a second and see somebody on the way over, Barbara.
Oh. Do you want to put your hat in that package down?
I'll put my hat down, but I think I'll keep the package.
Don't you trust us, Henry?
Oh, I don't mind holding it. It only weighs 2 pounds.
What's in it?
Oh, just a little something. Well, Mr. Pearson, how do you find business?
Very good, Henry.
You know, my father was saying...
Will you excuse me just a moment, Henry?
That's all right.
Henry, I went over to my doctor's today.
Is that right?
And I can't eat one blessed thing.
Is that right?
And I can't remember when I went to sleep last.
Hello, Henry.
Hello.
Well.
Here's a package for you. Be careful when you take it. It weighs 2 pounds.
Oh, you shouldn't have done this, Henry.
Well, aren't you going to open it?
All right. Who did you drop in to see on your way over, Henry?
Nobody in particular.
It wasn't Constance Marshall, was it?
Oh, all she wanted me to do was drop in and say hello.
Oh. She's a nice girl.
Barbara?
Yes, Father?
You're wanted on the telephone.
Who is it?
It sounded like George Bigelow.
George Bigelow? Again? Oh, will you excuse me, Henry?
Sure.
You mean you're going without opening it?
I'll be right back.
Certainly strange. I didn't hear that phone ring.
Mrs. Sanderson, did Mr. Pearson say George Bigelow?
He did.
George Bigelow. Tell me, what do you honestly think of George?
I'll tell you the truth, I don't think of him at all.
Oh.
What do you think of him?
Oh, you can't get me to say anything against him.
Very honorable of you. You know, I said to Barbara only the other day, young lady, I said, I hope you appreciate what kind of a young man Henry Aldrich really is.
Is that right?
Oh, my, yes.
And what did she say?
I forget now.
Oh.
Well, I certainly hope George doesn't call again.
George fine?
He's very fine.
Glad to hear that.
Certainly wish I could say as much about myself.
Don't you think you'd feel better if you went up to bed, Grandmother?
When are you going to open that candy?
I'm opening it. Candy, Grandmother?
Well, just 2.
Candy, Henry.
Oh, I didn't even know you were there. Thank you.
Very good. Even if they do have enough.
Shall we step out onto the front porch, Barbara?
No. Don't go out there and catch pneumonia, right? The prime of your lives.
Well, couldn't Barbara put on a coat, maybe?
Oh, Barbara.
Yes, Father?
Telephone. I think it's George Bigelow again.
My goodness. I guess he just thinks I don't have anything else to do. Excuse me, Henry.
I must be getting deaf. Henry, do you hear any phone ring?
No, ma'am.
What's the matter with you?
With I?
Whatever it is. Why don't you do something about it?
Well, what is there I can do?
Well, it's worth having. It's worth having, ain't it?
You mean I ought to pound the daylights out of George?
Well, he's out of him or out of Barbara.
How?
Well, then you can lay your hands on him. Reminds me. Hand me that candy.
But, gee, if Barbara likes George, I don't see how socking him is going to help any.
It'll certainly make you feel better, won't it?
Even if he's older than I am?
Listen, young man. I used to be as pretty as any of them in my day, and I know all the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, did you used to fight?
When the occasion demanded it, yes. Hey, are these all caramels?
No, ma'am.
Now, let me tell you something. If you want to make her sit up and take notice, only way to do is to make her jealous.
You mean, when she comes into the room, I don't pay any attention to her. I just sit and talk to you.
Well, is that the way they do it in the movies?
You mean I should make her think I like somebody else?
No, I'm telling you, not as a grandmother, but as one soldier to another.
Get busy and get busy quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Here. Want to eat the half of this one? It's got nuts in it.
My goodness. George Bigelow. He wants to give me his class pin. Can you imagine such a thing?
Well, I'm late as it is.
Where are you going?
No place. I just told Connie when I dropped in I'd be right back.
Oh. I'm sorry I didn't tell George he could come over.
No, why don't you call him back?
Well, of course. Maybe I will.
If his phone ain't wore out.
Henry, what's that you're putting on the lapel of your coat?
Nothing. Just a pin of Connie she asked me to wear.
Where'd she get it?
Her mother had it first. It's an old family heirloom.
Let me see what it says. Vote the Democratic ticket.
Yeah, the whole family comes from a long line of Democrats.
Oh. I'm sorry you have to go, Henry.
Well, maybe I can stay.
I'm telling you, Henry Aldrich, you're making the mistake of your life.
But
Grandmother, I don't think we should force him to go.
Henry?
Well, I guess I have to go, Barbara. Mm. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I don't suppose we'll see very much of you from now on, will we?
Why not? Oh, yeah. I guess as time goes on, you won't.
Hmm.
Well.
Barbara, you're wanted on the telephone.
Who is it?
You better go to George.
It's Constance Marshall. She's over at somebody's house and wants you to come over.
Is that right?
Oh, I'll answer it in just a minute.
Who is this Constance Marshall?
Constance Marshall is nothing but an NTS.
What's an NTS?
NTS is necktie straightener. Every boy she meets, she has to straighten right away.
Charles, who is Constance Marshall?
Constance Marshall's father is one of the most active Republicans in this state.
Is that right?
I think I'll be going.
I know what you're going to do, Henry Aldrich. You're not going to Connie's house at all.
But I am.
Oh, no, you aren't. You're really going to some other girl's house. I hope whoever she is, you have an awful time there.
But listen.
No, I won't. I hate you, Henry Aldrich.
Young man, get out of this house.
But Mrs. Sanderson...
And don't you ever darken this doorway again. With chocolates filled with nuts and raisins. Get out!
Yes, ma'am. Hiya, Constance.
Where are you going?
No place, just to the grocery store.
Henry Aldridge, look at your necktie.
I know it's crooked. I wear my tie like that purposely.
Please let Constance help you.
Not so tight. Do you want to strangle me?
How do you do, Henry Aldridge?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Sanderson?
How do you do, Mrs. Sanderson?
How do you do, young lady?
Where are you going?
I'm going to the doctor's.
Would you like to have me walk a long part way with you?
Oh, do you have to go now,
well,
Henry?
Gee, I'm late as it is.
Tell you what I wish you'd do, Henry. Stay right where you are.
Here?
Yes, sir. Barbara will be along just a minute or so. Wish you'd tell her where I've gone.
But my mother's waiting for the groceries.
Do you want Barbara to walk the streets of this town looking for me? Now, you stay right here, as I tell you to. And you, young lady, you stay here and see he does.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Sanderson.
And you tell her if I'm out at the doctor's, I'll be right across the street from there getting a bag of candy.
Henry Aldridge, look at your hair.
Listen, Constance.
You know, you could be one of the cutest boys I've ever known.
Cute? I'm cute? How do you think I'm cute?
Oh, Henry, you've got the cutest lock of hair right up there.
What's the matter with it?
Every time I push it down, it goes right up. Oh, look at it. Down, up, down, up.
How do you do, Henry?
Where did you come from, Barbara?
No place.
Your grandmother wanted me to tell you she's gone to the doctor's.
I know where she is.
Oh, well, what did she want us to wait here and tell you for?
I should like to add, Henry Aldrich, that you are certainly making a spectacle of yourself out here in the street.
I am?
No self-respecting person would have his hair combed by a girl right out in public.
Listen, Barbara, I'll have you know I'll have my hair combed wherever I want.
And what George Bigelow said about you is absolutely true.
What'd he say about me?
Never mind. He said, I hope sometime he tells you what he said.
Well, what do you know about that? Gee, was anybody think I'd struck her?
Henry, if I were you, I'd never speak to her again.
Oh, I hope you don't think I'm going to speak to her again.
Henry, would you like to come over to my house tonight?
Gee, would I'd be glad to. I'd be glad to. I think it would do me good.
Now, before Henry Aldrich comes back, I want to say that if you happen to have an active, growing boy in your family, I know one thing. I know that you're kept plenty busy feeding that boy, because youngsters that age are always hungry, always on the lookout for something good to eat. Well, now, here's a dessert that every boy, and girl too, will say is a real smoothie. The new Jell-O Butterscotch Pudding. It has a swell, tempting color like gold-colored taffy. It's smooth and luscious, and it just can't be beat for real flavor. As rich and delicious as old-fashioned butterscotch candy. Jell-O Butterscotch Puddings bring you real, downright homemade goodness. And best of all, it's quick and easy to make. It takes you only a few minutes. There's no fuss or trouble. You just can't go wrong. Then try Jell-O Chocolate Pudding, with that wonderful real chocolate goodness, smooth and satisfying. And Jell-O Vanilla Pudding, cream-colored and tempting, with nuts or fruits folded in to make it even more delicious. All three new Jell-O puddings have that homemade richness you love. So try them all. Ask your grocer tomorrow for Jell-O Butterscotch, Chocolate, and Vanilla Pudding. Back at the Aldrich home, we find the whole family seated at the breakfast table. Everyone, that is, except Henry.
Henry! 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 Mary, do you know whether Henry's up yet?
He said he was getting up the first time you called.
Father!
What is it?
Father, will you please tell Mary that if she sees Connie Marshall go by to flag her...
Aren't you all dressed yet, Henry?
Practically, Mother.
My goodness, all Henry can think about is Constance Marshall.
How is it he never sees Barbara Pearson anymore?
Her grandmother won't let him near the house.
What's the trouble?
I don't know, except she said something about his going too far over something. And did I tell you about the picture I found under Henry's pillow?
Of whom? Barbara's grandmother?
Of Connie Marshall. And down in the corner it said, Constance to others, but constantly to Henry. Doesn't that make you positively ill, Mother?
Please pass the salt.
This whole business is something I shall never understand.
Oh, forget it. By next week, you'll be over the whole thing.
Mother!
Yes, Henry?
Have you any idea where my trousers might be?
I thought you were all dressed.
I am, Father. All but my trousers. They seem to be missing.
Where did you wear them last?
I think it was when I went to the movies.
Don't tell me you left your trousers at the movies!
Wear your brown trousers, dear.
My brown trousers? But Mother Connie doesn't like those.
She even tells him what clothes to wear. The next thing you know, they'll be announcing their engagement.
It may be of interest for you to know that this is not one bit funny.
But Mother, I think it would be all right with Constance.
How do you know?
I heard her tell Henry only the other day that she believes in long engagements.
Well, this would have to be a good long one, because Henry still has a year and a half of high school and 6 years of college before he even begins to practice law.
She may even talk him out of becoming a lawyer.
Mary, you certainly are cheerful this morning.
Mother, look out through the window. Look at what I see.
Constance Marshall.
Constance Marshall?
She even comes here for breakfast now.
Well, they selected a very excellent name for that child.
Hello, Mary.
Hello.
I wondered whether you'd like to have me walk to school with you.
Come on in, Constance.
I guess you know my father, don't you?
How do you do?
How do you do?
My goodness, Mr. Aldridge, you look like Henry.
I?
Only, of course, an awful lot older.
Yes.
Shall we start now, Constance?
Has Henry left yet?
Not yet.
Where is he?
We have no idea where he is.
You mean, Mr. Aldridge, Henry has left home?
Apparently he has.
Constance, Henry's upstairs.
We only think he's upstairs. No one in the family has seen him. We have simply heard sounds that might have come from Henry.
Henry! Henry!
You see? What did I tell you?
Is somebody calling me?
There's somebody down here to see you.
Who is it, Mother?
Oh, somebody.
You mean to see me?
Yes.
Oh, I know who it is. It's Stinky Cameron. Hi, Stinky.
Henry!
I'll be down just as soon as I find my pants.
Henry, it's not Stinky, and even if it were, I don't think you should call him that.
He doesn't mind. Now you're Stinky.
Henry!
Father Thompson, come on up and help me find my pants.
Henry, you're disgracing the entire family.
In fact, it might interest you to know that Constance is down here.
Yeah? So's General Grant.
Hello, Henry.
Well, gee whiz, where did you come from, Connie?
Home.
Well, why didn't anybody tell me? I'll be right down.
Henry, have you got your trousers on?
Oh, no, I'm glad you spoke about that. Excuse me.
we'd better be starting, Constance.
Oh, we've got loads of time, Mary.
Not unless you want to be as late as Henry is. Goodbye, Mother. Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Mary.
Goodbye, Mr. Aldridge.
Goodbye. Charming young woman.
Oh, my goodness, Sam, I hope he'll get over it.
You must remember, however, that someday somebody is going to marry that young woman.
But it certainly isn't going to be Henry.
It would be just our luck to have it be Henry.
Wait for me, Mary. Wait for me.
They've left, Henry.
They've left without me?
Well, of course.
Well, goodbye, everybody.
Come back here and eat your breakfast.
But, Mother, do you want me to run right on top of a hearty meal?
I want you to come back to this table.
Where did you find your trousers?
That's the strangest part of it. I found them on a chair in my room.
On a chair?
Yeah.
Henry, where did you meet this Constance?
I was a fine young tour.
Henry, don't you think you should swallow your food before you talk?
Yes, Mother. I'll answer you in just a minute, Father. There. I was assigned next to her.
In what way?
My seat. My seat in assembly.
Oh, I see.
Why were you asking?
I was just wondering, what does her father do?
He's an exterminator.
He's a what?
Just a minute. He's an exterminator.
An exterminator?
No matter what you have, even if it's rats, you call him and he'll get rid of them.
Henry.
That's right, Mother. He'll get rid of any kind of pest there is.
He has never shown any disfavor toward his daughter?
Don't you like Constance?
Henry, in the past, your father and I have always permitted you to know anyone you wanted to. But somehow we don't care for this Connie.
Why not, Mother?
Well, putting it bluntly, you're much too nice for her.
Oh, Mother, don't be absurd. Well, until she came along, I didn't care how I looked. Now look at me. Remember that bunch of hair that always used to stand up? Now I keep it calmed down.
And to tell you the truth, I miss that lock of hair. I miss it very much.
You don't think I look improved?
Oh, Henry, dear, when are you coming to your senses?
In what way, Mother?
Well, for 1 week now, you haven't touched your homework. You can't eat your meals.
Well,
I
don't need food.
Whatever became of Barbara Pearson?
Barbara Pearson?
Of course.
She was all right when I was young, Mother.
You grew old 7 days ago?
I certainly changed since then.
In what way, aside from putting Vaseline on your hair?
In a lot of ways, Father.
Well, just remember, son, we wouldn't have you lose your head for anything. Is that clear?
Yes, Father.
Now run on to school.
Yes, sir. Only you've got the wrong idea about Constance.
I'm quite sure one of us has.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So long.
Sam Aldridge, I'm worried sick.
Alice, you're worrying about something that's absurd.
Sam, I didn't want to say anything about it before. I usually don't read anything that belongs to Henry, but I picked up a note Constance wrote him, and Sam, she isn't his kind.
Why didn't you tell me there was more to it?
Well, what I want to know is what we should do.
Give him some castor oil and send him to bed.
Well, that's what I thought you'd say. I know what I am going to do.
What?
I'm going to handle this the way the psychologists say a parent should.
Now, Alice, if I were you, I wouldn't start fooling around with psychology at a time like this.
But it's common sense, Sam. If we forbid his seeing the girl, it's simply a challenge. So the thing for us to do is to tell him that he may see her just as much as he wants to.
Which is what he's doing anyhow.
But we should invite her to dinner, Sam.
Invite her here to dinner?
Well, of course. If he sees enough of her, he'll grow tired of her.
You hope he will.
I'm sure he will. And on next Saturday night, we're having her and some of his other friends here for dinner.
Hiya, Connie.
Henry, do you like my dress?
Yeah, it's very pretty. I've got to see who's at the door.
Oh, I let them in. It was George Bigelow and some other girls.
Oh.
Henry, let Connie straighten your tie.
You always yank it so tight. The other night, I had to go to sleep with it on.
Oh. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Aldridge?
How do you do, Constance? We're very glad you could come.
How do you do?
You'll find my family in the living room. Papa has to leave early.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He's got to go on a big job for somebody.
You don't say so.
This is the third time he's been there. He just nicely gets them out, and they always come back.
Sam, come along.
Henry, wait and talk to Connie.
Yeah, I've got to go and see my guests.
Are they more important than poor little I?
No, but I ought to go in and say hello to them.
Henry, look at me. Oh, you've got the bluest eyes Connie has ever seen in her life.
Yeah? Oh. Excuse me for interrupting.
Oh.
Got something in your eye, Henry? Gee whiz, Mrs. Sanderson.
Hello, Henry.
Henry, you didn't tell me Barbara was coming.
No.
Well, I understood this party was for me. I'm going in the other room and tell your mother what I think of it, Henry Aldridge.
Henry, I know I shouldn't have come. Even if your mother did say I should.
But I'm glad to have you. I'm glad to have both of you.
Well, I'm not staying. I just came to make sure she got here. Where's your mother?
In the next room.
I'll just slip in, say hello. See whether maybe there's a little candy around.
Well, I see Constance has been fixing your tie again.
How can you tell?
It looks so nice. Doesn't look like you.
No?
When I came in, she was just going to straighten your eyes for you, I guess, wasn't she?
Listen, Barbara, please.
Henry, would you mind very much if I went home?
Henry, aren't you going to come in and join your guests?
Yes, Father, we're coming.
George Bigelow says he hasn't even seen you.
George Bigelow? Henry, I can't go in there.
Why not?
Because I can't. Please let me go, Henry.
But I want you to stay.
Henry, I've got to tell you. Those telephone calls I had from George, they weren't from George at all.
Well, who were they from?
Nobody. I just did it to make you jealous.
Was that your grandmother's idea?
No. It was mine. Wasn't it ridiculous?
Barbara, come in here. They got cakes with every kind of icing you can think of.
No.
Henry, your mother wants you.
I'll be there.
She wants you now, right away.
Yeah, but can't she wait a second?
No. Now then, young lady, if you want Henry Aldridge, you will stay here where you can keep an eye on him.
I'm not going to stay.
You want to upset me even more than I already am?
I can't help it. I'm going home.
Barbara, wait.
No.
Well, you've got to come in, dear. It wouldn't be a party without you.
Why not?
For any number of reasons.
But look at my eyes. They're a sight.
Tears, my dear, only make you prettier. I know from experience.
Do you really think so?
Sam. Well? You been asleep yet?
Of course.
I've been thinking about that party. I knew, said I didn't understand psychology.
Well, I didn't say that. I said you were taking a gamble.
Just think we won't have to worry about that awful Constance Marshall or the idea of Henry's ever giving up law or getting engaged before he leaves high school.
Oh, yes, sure. Things usually work out for the best.
Provided you give him a little assistance. By the way, have you heard Henry come in yet?
Don't believe I have.
Oh, my goodness, what time is it?
By the clock on the bureau, it's 2:10.
Sam Aldridge, Henry has never stayed out this late before in his life.
I thought you weren't going to worry anymore.
Oh!
Henry, is that you?
Yes.
Where have you been, Henry?
No place. I just walked home with Barbara, and then I had to wait until her grandmother went to bed.
Come in here and say goodnight to us.
I want to thank you for the swell party. Barbara said she had a very nice time.
Sit down here on the edge of the bed.
Henry, you're sitting right on my ankle.
I'm sorry, Father. I didn't know it was there.
Where did you think it would be?
Henry, move your head over toward the light from the door.
What for?
Oh, Henry, I could almost cry.
Why?
That old lock of hair. It's standing straight up again.
Yeah. She lets me wear my necktie so I can breathe, too. Mother, would you mind my asking right from the shoulder?
What, dear?
Well, Would you and Father be disappointed if I didn't study 6 years to become a lawyer?
Why not?
Oh, no particular reason, Father. Just asking.
Henry Aldrich, you aren't thinking of getting married, are you?
Oh, no, Mother, no. We think you should wait until you're at least through high school. Don't you?
Well, Alice, you certainly understand psychology.
Ladies and gentlemen, once there was a husband who was very fussy about his desserts. He liked puddings, but only the kind of puddings that his wife made for him. Well, of course, it's a lot of work to make good puddings, so this man's wife decided to play a little trick on him. What happened? Well, the wife who wrote us about this is right here in person, Mrs. Florence C., who lives at 25 Hillside Avenue, Washington Heights, New York City. Here's your letter, Mrs. C. Would you read us the rest of what you wrote, please?
Certainly, Mr. Von Zell. I decided to try Jell-O chocolate pudding. It only took me a few minutes to whisk it up, and when supper time came, there it was, a big bowl full of rich, creamy, smooth chocolate pudding. Well, my husband came right back for the second helping. Said it was the most delicious pudding I had ever made. So then I told him about it. Told him that I had used the new Jell-O chocolate pudding. He had to admit it surely was a success, every bit as delicious as the old-fashioned kind.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. C. And ladies, that is the way to make a hit with your husband, too. For the new Jell-O puddings have that real old-fashioned goodness. Creamy, smooth, full-flavored, and tempting. But they're far quicker and easier to make. There are three delicious Jell-O puddings to choose from. Rich chocolate, mellow butterscotch, and creamy, delicate vanilla. Yes, you like all three new Jell-O puddings. Real old-fashioned puddings made a new-fashioned way. So try them tomorrow.
Barbara?
Yes, Henry?
Are you sure your grandmother's going to bed?
Thank heavens she has.
Well, do you mind my asking you something?
What is it, Henry?
Well, would you like to go to a football game with me Saturday?
Of course I would, Henry.
If you go, Henry, I give you the money to get a seat for me.
Well, Grandma's in again, but be sure to tune in again next week for further adventures of Henry Aldrich. The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone, is written by Clifford Goldsmith. Tonight's special guest was Betty Field, star of the stage and screenplay What a Life. And she'll be back with us again next week. Original music is composed and conducted by Jack Miller. Harry Von Zell speaking and wishing you good night for those delicious new desserts all America's talking about. Jell-O pudding.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.